Good evening and welcome to Diz Dad's podcast number 83. I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight are Todd Bro.
Hello there.
Bob Chavez.
Good evening, everybody.
And Adam Dale.
Hello, everybody.
Tonight, we're going to be talking about Star Wars weekends at Walt Disney World. But before we get into talking about Star Wars weekend and geeking out a little bit, I do want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Fairytale Journeys would love to help you plan your next trip to Disneyland, Walt Disney World, heck, even Disneyland Paris. And we also love the Disney Cruise Line. So check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. You know, guys, as we start talking about Star Wars weekends, you know, we should remind people there's actually still a discount program going that covers room-only discounts in late May, early June, which is right during Star Wars weekend. Convenient this year.
Very much so.
And those Star Wars weekends, the dates, just so everybody knows what we're talking about, they always tend to fall around this time period, end of May, beginning of June. This year, it's May 17th through 19th, and special guest for that week will be Ray Park, who plays Darth Maul. May 24th through 26th, which will also feature Ray Park, and in addition, Warwick Davis, who plays the Ewok Wicket. Ewok is what I was drawing a blank on. I was going to call him a Wookiee, and I knew that was wrong.
Well, don't mess up that. Wookiees and Ewoks.
Yeah, bad combination. Then May 31st through June 2nd, Warwick Davis, who plays Wicket, will still be around. And then sort of the big get this year that was just recently announced is that June 7th through 9th, Lando Calrissian will be the featured guest. That's right, Billy Dee Williams is going to make it to Star Wars weekend. So
that right there is almost reason enough to try to book a last-minute trip to Walt Disney World to see Billy Dee Williams live in person.
Yeah, it really is. I think that may be one of the biggest biggest gets they've had as a special guest for Star Wars weekend in quite some time.
I was going to say, some of the others that are on the list of that are being there and possibilities have been there in the past.
Right. Yeah, there is a kind of a core group that has, you know, done the celebrity guest thing on the sort of the Star Wars fan circuit quite a bit. And in particular, you've got, Ashley Eckstein, who does the Ahsoka Tano voice for Clone Wars. She's kind of the celebrity host for the whole event, along with... I'm drawing a complete blank. I'm feeling really awful about that on her co-host. Does anybody remember who?
James Arnold Taylor.
That's right.
Yeah, and he's the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi on the Clone Wars.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there have been some other of the Star Wars sort of bigger stars who have made it before out there. Somebody mentioned Anthony Daniels, who does C-3PO. But, you know, Billy Dee Williams, I think, is probably the biggest of the recognizable stars. I mean, Anthony Daniels, you recognize his voice, but in the movies, he always had on the costume, he wore C-3PO. Even Darth Maul.
Also kind of big as far as the get regarding Billy Dee Williams is that he's big from the original series. He's not Clone Wars or First Three.
Right. So yeah, well, we try not to think about the First Three. Makes us all feel much better.
Peter Mayhew's also, Chewbacca, has been there in the past, and so has Jeremy Bullock, who's Boba Fett. You know, they've been there as well, too.
Right.
There's rumor that Jeremy will be there again this year. He's not officially committed, but the rumor's floating.
Well, that would be neat, because I'm actually curious who... Generally, there's two big celebrities, you know, every weekend, and for the first weekend, they just have announced Ray Park. They haven't announced another one, so I'm kind of curious, especially since I'm going that first weekend. So I'm waiting to see who it is, you know. It's 2 weeks away, and I'm still waiting, so maybe it's just going to be one, you know, who knows.
All right, well, before we let the geek talk among the Star Wars fans among us, including myself, get away from us too much, we do want to kind of, you know, let people understand what it is we're talking about. Why is this such a big deal that these celebrities are going to be at Star Wars weekend and be, you know, part of the event? So why don't I start with Todd, because I know you've been to Star Wars Weekends before, right?
Yes, correct. It was 2008 was the last time I've been.
So you've been once before. Bob, have you done Star Wars Weekends how many times before?
For sure, once. Last summer we did a Star Wars Weekend, and for some reason I want to say way back in like 98, even before it was Star Wars Weekend.
Okay. I was going to say that would be right at the beginning.
Like, it was, that memory's a little fuzzy at this point now, because 98 was a long time ago. But I want to say that there was more to MGM at that time than just the Star Wars ride that first weekend, or that weekend that I was there.
Okay. And then, Adam, I think you've been a few times, yeah?
Been twice officially. The last time was in 2011. When they relaunched Star Tours and had all the big name guests, including Lucas, an appearance for that. So,
all right. So you guys are our Star Wars Weekend veterans. I have not had the opportunity to travel down for a Star Wars Weekend before. So, Adam, why don't you try and give us sort of an overview of what Star Wars Weekends are like, just kind of the big picture?
The best way I can sum it up is, in a nutshell, it's almost like picturing some of the fan Comic-Con type atmosphere pushed into Disney World for the day.
Okay.
And it extends over multiple weekends. The times that we've been there in the past, we were actually there opening weekends, so there was a lot more fan action going on. The last year we were there the opening weekend of the opening weekend of the new Star Tour, so of course, fan reaction to the Star Wars was off the top.
Sure.
You had lots of surprise guests popping in, but the fans dress up. There's costumes and people in costume that are just fans that show up that rival the cast members' costumes.
I would say in some of the cases, the Joe Star Wars fan costumes are superior to some of the cast member costumes. Because it's their own personal time and energy and effort. It's not just something that somebody else made for them.
Well, and the stormtroopers that are there on and off are all part of the battalion of fan that show up. They particularly, my mind just went blank on what that's actually called.
They're called the 501st.
The 501 or the 501st. They show up and take over the park periodically in varying numbers. The days that they actually have a large majority of their folks there, they actually do, you know, big brigades. They stand up on the torrents and harass guests and pretty much immerse you into the idea that the Empire has taken over Hollywood Studios.
Right. And so during Star Wars weekend, you get this whole, you know, sense. It's like the regular Hollywood Studio streetmosphere is replaced with, you know, Star Wars streetmosphere. And you get, you know, roaming Star Wars characters in costume in addition to the fans in costume. And they really do create this atmosphere of immersion in the Star Wars universe in Hollywood Studios for that weekend. And there's a full sort of schedule of events that go on. Todd, have you ever done the early morning stuff?
Yeah. When I went in 2008, I was one of those guys out there early in the morning because I was out there for autographs.
And okay, so that's
a major. Yeah, that's a major tip for if you want to get autographs, you definitely want to go at least sometimes 2 to 3 hours before park opening. So if the park opens at 9, you want to be there for 7 o'clock, you know, 6 o'clock. Sometimes there's people there even earlier than that, depending on who the celebrity is. Like you were saying, for Billy Dee Williams, you know, the line is probably going to be really long and the people are going to line up very early for him.
And explain to people, you know, you go to line up. What are you lining up for? You're not really just lining up at the, you know, at the entrance gates. What's the purpose of that early lineup?
Yeah, what you do is once you get there, they have separate lines for the autographs for each individual person. Like I was saying, usually there's two people that are major stars, and then two of the stars that usually host the whole weekends, like we see in Ashley Eckstein and James Arnold Taylor. There's also lines for those guys as well. So there's usually 3 to 4 lines of for celebrity autographs. And what you're in line for is actually a fast pass. Basically, what they do, you get in line and you get a fast pass for a certain time. There's like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, something. There's different times that the autograph sessions are done. And so the earlier, the further in front of line you are, the earlier the time slots you get. So if you get there in the beginning, you'll get like the 1 o'clock. Or if you get there a little bit later, you know, the 2 and the 3 and so on. And so, of course, the major stars are the ones the lines are a lot longer compared to, you know, sometimes they'll have like Dave Filoni, which is the director of the Clone Wars, they'll have Matthew Woods, which is the audio supervisor for the Clone Wars and things like that. So, you know, they aren't as, you know, popular per se, you know, compared to other ones. So their lines are a lot easier to get into. And so basically, you know, that's one reason for sure to go in early in the morning.
Okay. So essentially you're getting in line for a fast pass. Now, it's not part of the regular printed fast pass system. So it's not like you're locking yourself out of a chance at a, you know, Star Tours fast pass or a Rock and Roller Coaster fast pass. But this is really the only way to ensure that you get an autograph, because there are only so many slots available and it takes a certain amount of time per person. And so this is the way they kind of, you know, manage to control the crowd that wants to get these celebrity autographs. And with the big stars like Billy Dee Williams come in the fourth week, those fast passes are going to go quickly.
Okay, I was going to say, it was also a bit of a, I don't want to call it like a security check, but as soon as you got a fast pass, you were also given one of those paper wristbands, so that if you had that, if you didn't have the wristband, you couldn't wait in line for the fast pass. So in other words, my wristband fast pass combination were good for 4 audience members with Ashley Eckstein, actually. But if I wasn't there with the wristband, then my fast pass couldn't have been used. At least that's what was explained to me by the cast member who gave me the wristband and fast pass.
Right, right. I think they do that to avoid there being kind of a secondary market in fast passes.
Exactly.
Also, they have like corrals, kind of almost like with the marathon. You have the people in corrals when you're in line. That way, you know, there's not extra amount of people just standing in line with you. They, you know, they want the line to move smoothly and quickly, and try to they want to try to sign as much as they possibly can within that allotted time. You know.
The other thing I was going to throw out there is that even if you're spouse or children are not Star Wars fans, they may either be swayed to become so during this event, or they will find that they can go ride and do other things, the normal attractions, especially in the morning hours while everybody's scurrying about to do the main attractions for Star Wars and the Star Tours activities that are going on. They can have time to ride, you know, Toy Story Mania over and over again, and Rock and Roller Coaster again and again. That was something that we found on our last trip.
Yeah, that is important to remember, that Star Wars weekends definitely change the usual crowd dynamic of Hollywood Studios. It's definitely going to be more crowded, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the wait times for attractions are going to be longer, for most attractions at least. Now, the flip side to that is that there's probably going to be an even bigger premium than usual on a Star Tours Fast Pass.
Yes.
But that's, you know, to be expected. I mean, you got a group of Star Tours fans or Star Wars fans, they're going to head to Star Tours. Before we talk too much about touring and attractions, though, I do want to make sure we touch on the sort of events that are what make Star Wars Weekend a unique offering in Hollywood Studios. So we've talked about the autograph piece, and it's a big piece, and it's important that people know that if they want the experience of getting character autographs from these, you know, Star Wars celebrities, they do need to get there early. The other kind of earlier in the day activities that commonly go on are things like maybe a little more attention than usual paid to Jedi Training Academy. Does anything different happen with Jedi Training Academy than normally does during Star Wars Weekend? Go ahead, Bob.
I didn't notice anything different, but I don't know that we actually did. We did Training Academy at a non-Star Wars weekend, so I couldn't tell you what was or wasn't different.
Okay.
As I sit here.
Okay, was that Todd who thought there might have been some difference?
It was Adam.
It was Adam. Okay. Sorry, Adam. Go ahead.
The only difference that we've seen is that it tends to be a few more villains backing up Darth Vader when he makes his appearance.
Okay.
During the normal, they tend to rotate between Darth Maul and Darth Vader and others. They tend to all just show up, and that's kind of a big deal. Gives a little bit more thrill to it, to the kids. Seems to be a little more entertaining.
Okay, and you know, one of the things that is important to notice is if you ever kind of look at the, we don't have yet the official schedule for these Star Wars weekends, so I'm just kind of glancing at some prior year schedules. And one of the things that jumps out at me is that, you know, they recognize that the first part of the day there is this rush for autographs, so it seems like they don't schedule much in the, you know, before noon time period. And I think that that's just a recognition of the fact that a lot of the big fans are going to be tied up in the autograph lines. So, you know, they don't sort of counter program it much. And it seems to me that that's probably a good time, like was being mentioned earlier, to enjoy the other attractions while the folks who are the hardcore fans are, you know, stuck in the autograph corrals.
Well, the other thing is that if you wander back into the streets of America and back around various places, you never know where you're going to stumble upon, especially some of the minor characters that are in costume.
Oh, okay.
Just hanging out for meet and greets, you know, a collection of stormtroopers. Maybe you might run into a Wookiee. You might run into a couple of Ewoks. We've got some really good photos from the last year, and it was interesting the people we ran into, plus the setup meet and greets. But besides the setup meet and greets, there's just lots of characters out and about, especially before noon time tended to be more of them out and about.
Makes sense.
I think it's particularly they used to call it the motorcade in the mornings, which was kind of a parade of characters.
Right.
Throughout. And immediately after that, you seem to spot a lot more characters out and about, especially the minor characters.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Bob. I noticed you were just asking in the chat about parents doing Jedi Training Academy, and I think this was a big missed opportunity for them. Just before Star Wars weekends is the sort of unofficial Star Wars fan holiday of the 4th of May, because of course of the famous line, "May the Force be with you." It's you know, very easily punned to "May the Fourth be with you." And so May the Fourth, they're doing some special events as part of the Limited Time Magic promotions in Hollywood Studios. And one of the things that they've announced for the May the Fourth Limited Time Magic event at Hollywood Studios is that they're going to have family opportunities to do Jedi Training Academy. And that was so exciting to my wife that had it not been for the fact that we've got, you know, conflicts of all kinds of stuff going on that weekend, we probably would have made a last minute trip to Walt Disney World, because she's really disappointed that she doesn't get to do Jedi Training Academy when the kids do it.
There's lots of rumor floating around that may be a test to see how it goes that weekend, along with the special fireworks they're having that weekend to see how that plays out, and including that later on into Star Wars weekends, either later this year or into next year's mix.
That would be interesting.
That's one thing I'm very interested about, is the fireworks, you know, because at one point in time, Hollywood Studios or MGM at the time had a fireworks show every night, and I wish they would bring that back, and it would be perfect to have a Star Wars one, even if it's not every day on a normal day. Every night for a Star Wars night, a Star Wars weekend night, would be awesome.
Right, and supposedly this is essentially the same fireworks show that they developed for the last sort of Star Wars special event they did. It's got some updated technology, some new shells and that kind of thing, but the choreography of the show and the music for the show and all of that is the same. I think you're right. I mean, I think it would make a lot of sense if they would do that same fireworks show at least during Star Wars weekends. For now, at least, it's going to be done for the special May the 4th, event. Anyway, so the other big thing that's happening in the morning, I think, especially for the sort of hardcore Star Wars and specifically Star Wars Weekends fans, is that in addition to the character stuff, there's also sort of a pop-up store that is set up at Hollywood Studios.
Quite possibly my favorite name of any, well, because I'm a big fan of the puns and everything like that, but the pop-up store that happens, if I'm not mistaken, it's behind the Rock and Roller Coaster, like in between Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. There's some big cast gates that open, and it's the Darth Mall.
Yes.
And for some reason, I just love the name. You know, probably a lot more than I should, but the Darth Mall has all of the both Star Wars and Disney Star Wars collectibles, all conveniently located and reasonably priced for your shopping needs.
That's actually a new addition from when I went in 2008. When I went in 2008, they had, you know, the regular Tatooine Traders and stuff, but then in the back, kind of where the rumored Monsters Incorporated roller coaster is supposed to go. It was called Wicket's Warehouse at the time, and it was basically indoors, kind of that location where you could see it used to be where Sorcerer Mickey was. You could go see Sorcerer Mickey. Well, in that location, it used to be called Wicket's Warehouse.
Oh, so, yeah, on the far side of Toy Story Mania, basically?
Correct, correct.
Where now there's always that sign in the window
says
that
hot set.
Hot set, but there's never anything going on in there?
Okay. Correct. That's where it was before. So this Darth Mall, I think, is new within the last, what, 2 or 3 years, you know?
Yeah, it was there last year. I don't know.
I was going to say, I think they stuck it up with the launch of Star Tours in 2011 was the first year they expanded. They expected record number of crowds that weekend for the launch.
And they got them.
And I tell you what, you know, I talked earlier about having to get there early for the autographs. The pin hounds and the collectors and the people that, you know, want to get that merchandise, they're there just as early or even earlier to get in the merchandise line, because I guarantee it's just like for, you know, the 30th anniversary of Epcot, where they had people lined up for hours and hours, you know, to get that merchandise, because, you know, they want to put it on eBay.
Well, some of it is the eBay hunters, and some of it is collectors. You know, there are folks who have, you know, the whatever the official annual pin for Star Wars Weekend is for every Star Wars Weekend, and that's an important collection to them. Now that you've got all the other merchandise, I mean, it's everything from, you know, pins to special vinylmation and shirts, and you've got the Muppet Star Wars crossover characters and the Disney Star Wars crossover characters, and now this year there are Cars Star Wars crossover characters.
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader, and there is a Lightning McQueen as Luke Skywalker as well.
The other thing that I was going to mention about getting there early, do not take for face value the park hours, especially in the morning, as being written in stone. Hollywood Studios has gotten notorious lately for opening a few minutes early anyway, but during the Star Wars weekends, we've noticed that they tend to be very lax on when they decide to just open the gates and let people in. A couple of times we showed up thinking that the park was supposed to open at 9 o'clock, and the park had been open for 2 or 3 hours.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I think they do that to try to kind of bleed out some of the crowd and avoid the crush. But when the lines get really long, I mean, they've got to keep the line out of the parking lot and out of the bus lane. So I think at a certain point, they just open the gates, make it safe for everybody to, you know, get in and to maneuver through the parking lot and security and all of that. So in addition, and by the way, for that merchandise stuff, they've already on the Disney Parks blog kind of released some of the pictures and things of the merchandise. I'll go ahead and try and include some links in the show notes to some of the merchandise, because some of it's really cool. Some of it, you know, I'm not sure I buy the Lightning McQueen as Luke Skywalker. Okay, I don't really get the point of that one. But a lot of the merchandise is kind of fun stuff. And I think there are two full Vinylmation sets that are devoted, you know, just to this year's Star Wars weekends.
Yep, that's on one of my lists, is to complete that Vinylmation. I don't collect a lot of Vinylmation, but I have the two previous sets, Series 1 and Series 2 of Star Wars. And then last year, they had a limited edition set for Star Wars Weekends. And then so this year, there's a full, you know, I think 12 person set again. And then there's, of course, an annual pass holder limited edition one, which is Han Solo and Carbonite.
Some of it's a lot of fun. Some of it is, you know, downright silly. I think that the name tags and the languages of the various Star Wars planets look pretty cool. On the other hand, I don't think I get the Lightning McQueen as Luke Skywalker figure.
Yeah, I would have thought it would have been better if they had just took Star Wars vehicles, like, you know, Darth Vader's TIE Fighter, and just put the car's eyes and emblems on that, and
okay,
and,
yeah,
and go in that direction.
That makes much more sense to me
than trying to Star Warsify cars or other Pixar characters. I think once they'd done the traditional Mickey cast and even the Muppets, I think that kind of wore that out. It was time to, you know, be original with it. I mean, they have the licensing now; they can do whatever they want with it. So, you know, why not? You know, if you're going to do this, do, you know, cars like Star Wars vehicles?
Well, sure, and that would have played right into the, you know, they've got planes coming out
exactly
later this summer. It would have been perfect, but, you know, instead we get
Darth Vader.
That's a clever name, but yeah, I think I would rather have Lightning Queen dressed up as a as an X-wing,
there,
or Doc as the Millennium Falcon versus Darth Vader.
It just makes more sense. Okay, so we've talked about kind of the morning. We've talked about shopping. During the day, in addition to the signings that are going on and the shopping stuff, there's also seminar is the wrong word. But I don't know, what would you call them? The things like they've got the guest stars often will do, you know, Q&As, or they'll talk a little bit about their experience during the show.
I think this year they're doing the Behind the Force, some of the making of the movies.
Right.
This is the 30th anniversary of Return of the Jedi, so I figure they'll focus on that and what went into all of that.
Right, and they tend to schedule those sort of just before and just after lunch. Historically, I'm looking at old schedules, and they'll do like one session at 11 o'clock and another one at 1:45.
For a Star Wars fan, they're very intriguing. We sat through the seminar or lecture or Q&A that Anthony Daniels, yeah, there you go. I wanted to call him Daniel Anthony for some reason. they'll take my Star Wars card away from me. But it was very interesting in him talking about the role and meeting the people and how things came about and how the sets were done and how various effects were pulled off and how they weren't even real sure how things were going to look when they were filming the movie and were shocked when they saw the first movie. It was very interesting.
Huh. That would be interesting as a fan of the series, especially. You've got those, and then things just get weird when you get to the evening. who wants to try and describe Hyperspace Hoopla?
I love Hyperspace Hoopla. We actually make sure to go at least once, but usually try to go a couple different times, and it's one of the things that grabbed my children's attention on the last trip and turned them into Star Wars fans. Hyperspace Hoopla is Dancing with the Stars / what is that reality dance show?
So you think you can dance?
So You Think You Can Dance meets all the Star Wars characters. Gong
wrapped
Show
in, wrapped
style.
In pop, wrapped in pop culture also, too.
Yes. It is, if you like pop culture, if you like some of the pop music, if you catch all the references, I mean, there's a lot to be said for watching Chewbacca come out doing his best Axl Rose impersonation, and there's a lot to be said for the dance off that they do between the characters. I hear that based on the events of May the 4th Be With You, that's going to include a dance party, and there are rumoring that that's going to bleed over into either before or after Hyperspace Hoopla with the Star Wars characters joining the crowd.
Fun.
So that could make it, that would be the only thing I could think that would make it more entertaining. The other thing, I was going to throw a reference back to what we were talking about earlier, is they're saying on the 4th that the Star Wars characters may actually join you on Star Tours.
Right, yeah, I've heard that as well.
And on in the original launch of the second Star Tours, they did that on the opening weekend. They just randomly, various Star Wars characters would show up. We actually have a photo that a guy took in front of us with Chewbacca sitting next to me on Star Tours, which was kind of wild. And he texted me later in the day. So there was some interesting things that go on. You just never know what they're going to do to mix it up. But Hyperspace Hoopla, if you've never seen it, it's really time to see it.
Well, okay, so Todd, give us some practical advice on dealing with Hyperspace Hoopla. First of all, where is the show?
Well, back in when I saw it, it was actually at the Jedi Training Academy on the stage. But now, as of in the last few years, it's right on in front of the big Mickey hat. They build a stage out there, and I think that's exactly where they're going to put it again this year, I think.
Okay, so kind of like that Disney Rocks stage that they used to roll out, which obviously they don't roll out anymore since they discontinued Disney Rocks.
Yeah, it's actually a bigger setup, you know, especially since last year, since it was the opening of Star Tours 2.0 and that sort of thing, and George Lucas was there, and it really had a big presence last year. I'm not quite sure if it's going to be that big, but it's a little bit bigger than the little, you know, Disney Rocks and that sort of thing. And from what I understand, it's kind of like if you've ever seen when Mulch, Sweat, and Shears plays and on the stage for like New Year's. It's kind of like that type of thing.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And where would somebody want to be to get a good view of the show?
Well, pretty much anywhere in that area, you know, you can get a good view. You know, if you really want to, you know, an upfront, right up front on the railings kind of thing, you probably want to get there at least 30, 45 minutes in advance. You know, I would imagine kind of like you do for the, you know, the parades and stuff.
Right.
You can also catch, if you don't mind the videoed version of it, they broadcast it over on the American Idol Experience screens during the show. So you can kind of stand over there kind of away from everybody and catch it there. But it is worth, you know, getting into the crowds and getting on up close to the front to see what all's going on. It's entertaining. You'll laugh. Especially if you like that kind of entertainment, they kind of let go a little bit and do some of it. You know, it's all performed and staged, but they tend to improvise some and get a little caught up in what they're doing.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the parts of Star Wars that made it so popular and that in some ways was missing from the prequel series is that sort of sense of silly fun that was kind of buried there within it. There was a certain amount of that in the original Star Wars, that sense of humor. And so I think it's nice to see a focus put on the, you know, goofy humor aspect of it for a little while at an event like, Hyperspace Hoopla.
Yeah. And some of the diehard guys, you know, or guys and gals, should I say, some take it and some leave it. You know, some say, oh, this is, you know, heresy. They're messing with Star Wars. They're, you know, making fun. They're making mockery of Star Wars. And a lot of people don't like it. But then a lot of people, you know, once you're there, you know, you get into it and you see the reverence and the fun they're making with it. And you don't take it, you know, you don't take it as an insult.
All right. So let's just try and kind of wrap up a little bit because I think we've covered most of the events. Is there anything that we've missed that I didn't think to ask about?
I think some of the special food, Bob threw out here in the chat, the Darth Vader cupcakes, some of the other specialty items that they throw out is interesting to see, is interesting to try. There's always some keepsakes and some souvenirs along the way of, you know, from whether it be a slushy mug that's R2-D2 that can double as a beer stein later, or, you know, the decoration off of your Vader cupcake.
And anything that could double as a, you know, large beer stein later is, you know, my stamp of approval.
Exactly.
I believe also one thing we maybe kind of glossed over, or I can reiterate, was we were also discussing earlier about how, you know, if your wife and that sort of thing comes and isn't into Star Wars, or a person that comes with you isn't into Star Wars, one thing that's really kind of integrates Disney with Star Wars is Mickey and Minnie, Goofy, Donald, they're all dressed as Star Wars characters, and they have meet and greet areas for those characters. So you're with Stormtrooper Donald and Darth Vader, Goofy, you know, and Minnie as Princess Leia. So I think that intertwining of the two, Disney and Star Wars, kind of gets the people that are on the fence about it, gets them involved with Star Wars weekends as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's a really good point, because I think that that does kind of give you the softer side of it, you know? And I think for kids, it allows them to see their friends, so to speak, the Disney characters that they know and love already, sort of as fans of this Star Wars universe like them, to some extent.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a good point, too. One of the things that we said we were going to talk about and we kind of left by the wayside a little bit is dealing with the traffic patterns in the park being different than they are at other times. You know, you're probably going to find it a little easier, for example, to, you know, get your ride in at Toy Story, because the various Star Wars events tend to pull people to other parts of the park. But at the same token, you know, that area over by Echo Lake where Jedi Training Academy and Star Tours are is going to be more crowded than usual. And you're going to find it going a little tougher. As a matter of fact, I know last year they introduced something new in that area over in the old Sounds Dangerous building. And Adam, you were reminding us about the Carbonite Yourself experience.
Yes, they actually did that for the first time in 2011, but the lines were long and you very limited slots, and it's not cheap. But they do a 3D scan of you, and it's all set up like the carbonite chamber, the smoke going off and everything, and they scan you in, and then a few weeks later you get in the mail this small, you know, 8-inch statue of yourself in carbonite.
I'm not sure it's worth what they're charging for it, but it is awfully cool.
I want to say it was around $130,
yeah,
or so, which I'm trying to convince the wife that I need to have a carbonite version of myself. that's like the ultimate, you know, Star Wars fan piece.
Well, and it's certainly a great conversation piece in the office, you know? I mean, nobody exactly. else has one of those.
Exactly. I mean, it can go right up along with all my Star Wars Vinylmations hanging over my desk that everybody comes up and asks me 100 questions about. I could put the carbonite me.
Sure. And Bob is having an awful time here because he's having audio problems and he keeps reminding us things in chat that we've forgotten to mention. And this is an important one. You know, we've talked about a lot of these things that are events or things that allow us adults to be kid-like a little bit around Star Wars. But there's also things, you know, for the kids, in addition to Jedi Training Academy. The face painting for the kids during Star Wars weekend, I think, is especially good. I mean, they've always got the face painters there. You know, they'll do the Darth Maul paint job on the face. But I think it's a little extra, a little more special during Star Wars weekend when they might have that face paint on and then, you know, run into Darth Maul strolling through the park.
Yeah, you see those pictures online with the kid with the paint like Maul and then the character or the guy portraying Darth Maul in the parks next to each other, and it makes for a great photo opportunity.
And the characters are really active. They, you know, normally the Disney characters are pretty interactive if you get them going, but you can usually get Darth Vader to play with you and do the Vader chokehold and several other things if you act out with him. Or, you know, pull a fake gun on Boba Fett and he'll respond. Those are always cool interactions that once I got my kids into it and got them over going, what is this craziness? They really embraced it and got into trying to get some good pictures and have fun with it.
All right. Yeah. All good things. Let's kind of see if we can roll this together, and we're going to go. Poor Bob is typing away madly in the chat room. We'll try and speak for him a bit if we can. And I want to go through each of you and just get one bit of advice, thing to look forward to, thing not to miss, that kind of thing. And then we'll come back and do one maybe caution or thing to be careful about. And actually, this time I want to start with the downsides because we've been talking in glowing terms about Star Wars Weekend. There are some things that are challenging, and I don't want people to forget that. So, Adam, why don't you go first and maybe point out something that people should be watching out for, be aware of with Star Wars Weekend that, if you didn't think about it, you didn't know about it in advance, it might mar your experience a little bit.
Two things. One, the crowds, just be aware that there's going to be a lot of people there. And two, not everyone that shows up in costume is necessarily tasteful.
Okay. Good to remember.
You will see some things that you may wish you had not seen. Disney does a pretty good job of running people out, but at the same time, there are several people that come on in and change in the restrooms and then strut around in whatever they desire.
And let's just be honest, there are some Princess Leias who really don't belong in a gold bikini.
Exactly.
Okay, Bob is trying desperately to point out to us here that although the character interactions are a lot of fun, it does mean that for some characters, and Darth Vader in particular, that line can take forever because everybody wants to interact with Darth Vader, especially since he's not generally available for meet and greets. So just be prepared for that. It's sort of related to one of the things that Adam pointed out, Bob also wanted to point out that remember, too, that, not everybody who's dressed up and looking like a character is an actual cast member. Pointed out that he had actually seen a Han Solo and a Boba Fett, get run out because they were, trying to, there was a line there to meet them. They were playing themselves as if they were official characters. And that's a big no-no at Disney, even when it's okay to be in a costume. All right. So Todd, what's your bit of a caution?
I think, the same thing about the crowds, but also is don't forget to take time to rest and relax and just take in the whole excitement, the whole atmosphere. Don't forget to eat. Don't forget to do things you normally would do while you're at the Hollywood studios. You can get caught up sometimes and, like me, I'm more interested for myself personally is, the autographs and meeting the celebrities. And so getting there early is a big, a big thing for me, and if I would sleep in later, not get there early, that would be a problem, getting those autographs.
Sure. Okay. And then coming back around, one really as a last kind of a parting message, the thing not to miss that really is the most important thing or an important thing that maybe we haven't talked about as much yet. And you want to make sure people remember when they're planning a trip that includes Star Wars weekends. So Adam, why don't you go first on this one again?
Because my kids loved it so much and it made an impression. And when they found out we were going again this year, they all ask about it. I say, don't miss Hoopla. At least go once, try it out, see if you like it. It may not be your thing, but if you like it, you'll want to go back again before the weekend's out.
Okay. And Bob's advice here, important things to remember. He had two, really. One is even though there are other things attracting people's attention,
you still have to go to the Toy Story Midway Mania Stampede first thing in the morning. If you want to ride the ride, you still got to throw elbows and get your fast passes.
Okay.
And we were very, very glad to have our ADRs the Star Wars costumes get hot, which means the Star Wars costume wearers get real grumpy in the Florida heat of that Sunday. So we were happy to, you know, get away from them at an early ADR that day, and that was very much a key.
Okay, and Todd, your bit of advice.
I'll say the same thing that Adam said about the hoopla. You know, definitely see the hoopla. It's kind of basically their fireworks. You know, they're the ending of the evening. You know, that's pretty much the last thing on the agenda for the Star Wars events. You know, sometimes the parks may be open a little bit later after that, but that's pretty much the ending of the Star Wars events for that day. So definitely check the hyperspace hoopla out, and I don't think you can go wrong with that.
All right, and I am just going to echo to a certain extent part of what Bob was saying and maybe summarize some of what we've all been saying, and that is that Star Wars Weekend attracts a crowd. It attracts a crowd with particular interest, and you need to plan with that in mind. So if you're used to planning your park days around a touring plan and, you know, the standard sort of 20-minute intervals for attractions, you have to kind of – you know, put that on the back burner and do a plan that is specific to what you're likely to experience at Star Wars Weekend. So if you want autographs, you know, make sure that you're there early. If you want to be among those folks getting your chance at the commemorative merchandise, you know, that first Star Wars Weekend, you need to plan for the time to do that. And, you know, don't forget, well, Bob, you go ahead and say this, because I think this is an important point, and you've been making it all along, so.
Okay. You have to remember, as great as Star Wars Weekends are, it's still Disney's Hollywood Studios, which means there's still Hollywood Studio things going on. There's still the Rock and Roller Coaster. Beauty and the Beast show is still going on. The Tower of Terror is still there, and all of those are things worth doing. It was last My ADR this last year was for the Hollywood Brown Derby, which is still one of the most amazing meals I've ever had ever. You know, it's still Hollywood Studios. So you have to remember to get in all your Hollywood Studio stuff, not just hang out in Tatooine all day because there's an entire theme park there waiting for you.
That's right. A good reason. And that's a good reason why it's a whole weekend. You know, if you have that luxury and you're on vacation at Disney and you're taking in Star Wars Weekends, it is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So maybe one morning you do, you know, the autographs, and then maybe the next morning you get in line for the merchandise. Then the next day you maybe do the characters. You know, if you have that opportunity to go all 3 days, you can kind of spread it out. You know, that's also maybe a good tip, is if you can do that, you know, spread it out. And maybe you do Hollywood Studios in the morning and then you go to another park in the afternoon, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it does mean that during Star Wars Weekend is a time where, you know, having park hoppers can be particularly useful, because you can spend that, you know, couple of hours at Hollywood Studios in the morning and get out of that crowd and spend your time in another park. You know, come back again another time to Hollywood Studios, maybe just come back in the evening to catch, you know, the hoopla that night, and, you know, don't burn your energy in the massive crowd that's there at Rope Drop, which may end up actually happening, you know, at 7:30 in the morning if you're there the first weekend of Star Wars Weekend and, you know, they've got that crowd that's, you know, line running into the parking lot. All right, well, you know, you've heard our suggestions about Star Wars Weekends. We'd love to hear from you and hear about what you love about Star Wars Weekends and any tips you might have. You can send them to us by emailing us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. And participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And don't forget to check your podcast feed for our new Midweek Dad Show, Your Hump Day Disney Fix. Until next time, this has been Aaron Ripmaster with Adam Dale.
So long, and may the Force be with you.
Bob Chavez.
And may the Fourth be with you, and don't forget the next day, Revenge of the Fifth.
And Todd Bro.
Take it easy, guys.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.